Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and darn, we're gonna have another beer.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading Iron Flame by Rebecca Yarros, and someone's starting a beer, yeah.
So this beer is Intersect by Torch and Crown, because the two main characters, their genitals intersect quite a few times in this book.
Straightforward.
The episode's all downhill from there.
That is a big part of the book, and a big part of the man, Zayden.
I think it's the main reason people read these books.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the dragons? It's not the incredibly coherent magic world she's created?
It's for him dragging his nuts on her.
Yeah, that's right. Look at this bat wing. Dragon wing. Well, we've been through this. Oh, yeah, right. How's the beer, Nate?
It's okay. It is a session? Yeah, hazy session IPA, which actually just means that it's pretty bitter. I don't know. It's weirdly, you just need a lot more, because I want to say the ratio of hops to the rest of the malt, that's what it's called. The rest of the malt is quite low. That's why it has a lower percentage alcohol. But that just means that the hops are stronger, but more of the bitter part of the hops. Anyway.
So Iron Flame, which is, I think, what that brown guy shouts out in Street Fighter when he punches you.
It's Yoga Flame, but it's basically the same thing.
Yeah. Iron Flame.
Iron Flame is how the Soviets took down, that was their Star Wars. Iron Flame for Western missiles.
It's also, isn't that a thing in karate when you could punch through a cinder block? I got my Iron Flame.
That's Hot Hands.
Oh, right. Let's just keep thinking of things that it is and not talk about this book. So this book, it came out a year and a half ago. I don't know how we missed it. And
we read the last one when this one came out.
I had just forgotten it, and now it had to all come rushing back into some fucking Vietnam PTSD fucking thing. When I hear a firecracker go off on 4th of July.
You know, like
no, Charlie!
A solid 20% of that book was pretty good. 20%.
Yeah, the rest, 20% was solid. The rest was loose stool. Just diarrhea. This book, fortunately, is 100% diarrhea squirts. And it picks up right after the last book ended, where Violet was welcomed to the revolution.
Or as Jimmy says, at the endis of the lastest book is.
Yeah, that is the Latin. I think Seneca said that.
No, it was Cicero, definitely.
Oh, yeah, that is a Cicero kind of thing, yeah. She's in a castle recuperating after they just found out about the evil dragons or something. I don't even fucking know.
Okay, so at the end of the previous book, Violet had just been attacked. We are definitely not explaining the first book. Go listen to our other episode. So at the end, but at the very end of the last book, Violet and her and the fourth wing, who were out on maneuvers, were attacked by the Venin, and which were supposedly not creatures that didn't exist, or they thought didn't exist, because they've been lied to by her mom. For all these reasons. But mom, anyway, and so
I could have went swimming half an hour after eating.
Everybody's favorite Irish boy, Liam, dies. And everyone is very sad. Violet also almost dies because she gets poisoned by the Venin. But she gets she manages to kill the Venin she's trying to fight, which are these I'm not even sure
they're
what
like
they
zombies,
are.
Zombies.
Yeah.
They're like magic. They're kind of like a lich, almost. Like a zombie that does magic.
But they also have really good...
Sounds like my ex-wife.
She's dead?
I wish, man.
Anyway, so she's poisoned and then almost dies. And then she wakes up and her brother is the one who healed her. She thought her brother was dead for the last 6 years, but actually he's the leader of the secret rebel base.
Alderaan.
Yeah, on a rebel base of Alderaan. And he's running this like rebel army, but he's like, I'm sorry. And she's like first mad, like, I thought you were dead. But now she's like, oh, gets over it.
I got
gets over
better.
That real fast.
And you would think that he's like, you should be happy to see me. Maybe we could share a simple toast. That's the name of this beer, an IPA from Other Half. a simple toast, which is very good. I drink. Oh, it's brewed with in collaboration with Burial, which is what should have happened to this book. But she's like, "What the fuck, man? I've been reading the weird books that you quote at the start of chapters to me."
I really hate the way this book does that, because the start of the chapter, the little epigraph, is that what it's called?
Shit stain is also that, what it is in the publishing world.
The little quote by the fake document in the beginning of each chapter just completely gives away what's happening, what's going to happen in the chapter. And I see what she's doing there, because like, that's a big fantasy thing, having that little, but I didn't like it. I was like, make it a little bit more of a mystery.
I felt that they were really dumb, because first off, there's like, now in this, I don't know if they were in the first book, but in this book you get ones where it's like, from the correspondence of Violet and Zayden, and it's like, how's my puss taste? And then it's like chapter 19. But like, as if somebody's collected all these documents like centuries after the events of the book, like this is a historical thing. But then it'll have things like, from the How to Train Your Dragon unauthorized edition by General Payne, and it's like, unauthorized edition? That's like, that sounds like an American Pie movie. Like,
bigger, longer, and uncut.
Yeah, just like, that's, I think she wanted it to sound like, ooh, this is like, you know, not redacted or something, but it just sounded terrible. And I think that that is a really shitty writing technique that a lot of fantasy novels use now. And I know I made fun of it for something recently, Allegiant. It was shitty then. It is shitty now. Because those books never matter. They're just there to tease the contents of the chapter.
It's like a really long chapter title.
And in this book, they actually care about books for a lot of it, but it's never from those books.
once in a while, it is towards the end when they start quoting from the journals. They're spending several hundred pages translating.
Where everyone's just like, "This isn't the word for fire; it's the word for rain." It's like, all right, James Taylor, relax. Those things don't go together. And we'll get to that. And the bad linguistics plot line. So what happens next? What happens at all, Nate?
Oh my God. So there are so many things. I will admit to the dear listeners that I have to look at the Wikipedia summary to remember what goes on in this book, because there are so many things. And I will also point out that the Wikipedia summary has a little note at the beginning that says, "This article's plot summary may be too long or excessively detailed." No, that's just how many fucking stupid things happen.
It was a 29-hour audiobook.
So I'm actually still describing, I left off still describing what happened at the end of the last book. I haven't got to this one yet. Okay, so she wakes up and they're like, oh, there's a quick council meeting or wherever the fuck the rebel army is. And they're like, we got to send them back. We have to send them back, as, you know, they have to pretend, oh, we just got lost. Sorry. Oh, it was the third left. So we finally found our way back 3 days later.
Back to refuel my dragon.
You know, ran out of fire. What are you going to do? Two flat wings, you know.
And they all go back to high school.
It's so dumb.
Let's go back to high school.
It's yeah. The fact that they have to go immediately back into, well, time for sophomore year. I wonder what locker I'll get this year. It's like, fuck. What? Why? Why?
They've just learned about this fucking plot by their government to like lie to all the people. And they're like, well, I think there's a really good theme for Sing this year, so I really want to go back to school. and they do.
I don't understand why they need all these books need to take place in a high school-esque setting, especially this one, because they are all in their 20s. They are not children, for once. Well, they're not like 14-year-olds.
They're not high school. This is college. This is war college. Dragon war college. Because they are kind of living in dorms.
Yeah, still. It's
to
just,
a degree.
They don't... Well, I guess just like, oh, it's a series. I guess they need a year of school per book. Like, they don't always.
Well, yeah, because it's copying Harry Potter, and because that's what Harry Potter did. This one thing I'm going to say about the book is, oh, yeah, that was from blah, 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 because she is really just borrowing from many, many other books, which isn't by itself. There's nothing wrong with that, because No, everyone copies from everyone else. I mean, that's just, it is still definitely original, even though she's borrowing a lot of ideas and themes and stuff like that from other books. But the only problem I have with it is, you know, I've seen that before. I've seen it before, so I find it less interesting.
I heard on another podcast a guy talking about, like, how these books of this style, you know, these, like, maybe, I don't know if this is YA at this point because of the graphic
you
sex
listen
scenes.
To other podcasts on us, Jimmy?
Just one or two, just to, like, steal from.
Just got a burner
from.
Spotify
just,
account,
just to steal from. But, like, books like this, these, like, fantasy YA series, people read these, like, the people that are really into them, they like the fact that these are a series of tropes and is a checklist of things that they are looking for in these books. And they're like, yep, there it is. That's the thing I want. That's the thing I want. That's the thing I want. And that's what they like. They like that this is this familiar set of things, you know, the same kind of like love interest shit, the same kind of, you know, school by the years shit. Is what people want for some reason, the same tropes over and over and over and over and over again.
I don't think anybody reads these books to work hard. You know, it's not like when you read Ulysses, you're like, God,
no,
damn, what's happening?
Yeah. It's not trying to be.
So finding stuff that's familiar, maybe, you know, like, oh, this feels nice. This is the style I like. You know, it's like if you only like chocolate chip cookies, like how much variety can there really be? Except this
I saw a tweet where it was like, Half of the people in America's favorite restaurant is the Olive Garden.
The other half are actually Italian.
So there's not that many, thankfully.
Yeah. You know what? Of course Americans like Olive Garden. It has unlimited breadsticks.
And we can get fatter, damn it.
Salad. The jerk-off moment. Like, there's not,
let yeah. the record show Mike was making the jerk-off motion while he was saying that, while he was saying the word salad.
Not for me, but for the half of Americans.
They get the salad like just Olive so they can Garden. Drink the ranch dressing.
I would love, there should be, some economist should do a study. How many people get a refill, like what's the ratio of refills of the breadsticks to refills of the salad? Because they're both unlimited. And I can't imagine then they're like, more, hey, paisano, more breadsticks over here. And then they look around, like, more salad? What do you think? Another salad? And one more salad, too. That fucking never is happening. I need more bread product shoveled into my mullet, my maw.
Into your mullet, yeah.
Into my mullet. And that's where, because that's where their neck fat rolls go. I was going to say maw and then gullet, and I fucked that up.
I think Breadsticks for Mullets is a Ween album.
Almost certainly, if not a track off of Chocolate and Cheese, which is an actual Ween album.
So, Nate, how does this book start?
Okay.
Oh, tell me about God. The dragons.
So, they go back to Hogwarts, they pretend that, oh, guys, we just got lost. Sorry, you know. You know, I know the other team made it back before us. It looks like we lost. Oh, and we got so lost that Liam died. Oops.
Well, they tell everybody that like,
they're actually very sad about that.
By something else, right? I don't remember.
I'm sure. Something like that.
Griffins, which are the...
Oh, yeah. The
lion, the pretend lion beasts.
Pretend enemy. Also, do we know why their war college is named after Jean-Michel Basquiat?
It's like Bisgaiath or something, right? That's the fucking
yeah, it's Bisgaiath.
Yeah, I don't know. It just sounds like someone with a lisp. I know the Bisgaiath, but they're pretty good.
In his blue period, because everyone's getting bloon at this school.
Okay, so you get back to like kind of okay. So the big plot, or more like this, has been.
Big plop.
The big secret that has gone on that you like that Violet is figuring out kind of at the end of the first book in Wausch is going to be the major thing that's going on in the second book, which is in this fantasy kingdom, they've like changed the history. It's like basically 1984 where they're like the Venon don't exist and the Griffins are our enemies and we're just going to like stay here and not worry about anybody else. And we're just going to stay in. We're just going to pretend everything is fine. Well, really what's happening outside the kingdom is these monsters called Venon are like attacking people and killing people. They're not in their kingdom, whatever the fuck their kingdom was called. I totally forgot it.
It's Navarre.
Navarre.
Navarre. Yeah. That's
land
right.
Land of Dave Navarro.
Dave Navarre.
That's where he's from. Right?
And so, because this country, they just don't want to deal with it, you know, because they believe in sovereignty. But instead of just saying, yeah, there's this other thing, but that's their problem. We don't just want to care. They decided to just pretend it doesn't exist, or they tried to like fool everybody into thinking it doesn't exist. And so Violet finds out about this. She also finds out that her mother, General Soren Gale, is one of, because she's one of the top generals, she obviously knows this is true and is part of the problem in that she's been like hiding this her whole life, or her whole, like, you know, military life from the rest of the country, including her own family, and letting all of these innocent people die, innocent people in another country die. But also there was a rebellion. This was like somewhere like 10 years before this, something like that. There was a rebellion where a bunch of the other like nobles knew that this was true and just tried to tell everyone that this was true, and all the generals who wanted to pretend it was still fake literally won the civil war, captured them, killed them, but then let their children live, which is an absolute stupid move. You would never let the children of your enemies live. You can't execute the parents and then let the children live, because who's going to come after you? It's the children. So, and you don't then let the children live and then let them join your army. That is like a coup waiting to happen. What are they thinking?
Maybe they were thinking some of them might end up being really hot later. And I want to see how hot that guy gets. You know, they weren't monsters.
He's only like 11 now.
They weren't saying they're hot kids. They were like, that kid is going to be a hot man.
He's fuckable now. Think of how fuckable he'll be later.
I mean, I don't know what the age of consent is in Navarre.
Everyone seems to be dead by 19, so it's got to be pretty low.
They're doing Alabama numbers. That boy is almost ripe.
So Zayden with an X is the son of the previous the leader of the rebellion, and so he and the other kids his age, who are, you know, now in their late teens, early 20s, are now going through military school, but they like are supposed to have not talked to each other, but of course they're in a secret conspiracy to actually, but it's not take over the school, or it's not like take over the country. It is to actually go and help the people that are being murdered by the Venon. But that's the secret. Okay, so that's like this big plot point of the whole thing. And I just think this is stupid. Like, it was a choice that the author made, and in my opinion, I just don't like it. I don't like that this is what the plot of the whole series is about. It's fantasy. Anything could fucking happen. That's not what I'm saying. It's just kind of like, I just didn't like it. Like, oh, I get it. I just don't like it.
No, it's the problem with these books, and it's the weakest part of it is the romance parts. They're fucking terrible. And so the guy in the first book, he has to be like this dark, mean asshole. And he's got to be mysterious, but he's clearly, he could be the bad guy, because there's also the good guy alternative, and who's she going to pick? Of course, through happenstance, she ends up with the bad guy. But it turns out he's actually the best guy, and everything that we thought was bad about him is really good, and he's perfect in every way, and it's almost sickening how good he is, but he's still kind of a dick sometimes, and just that makes him so fucking hot, and the romance parts of this book are unforgivable, really. Really.
Oh, so he's like, let's go out on a date. I brought Bridge on the River Kwai. And she's like, unforgivable?
Give me a chicken sandwich and some waffle fries for free.
Nate, do you remember this gem of the early internet?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
She brought Legally Blonde.
Dr. Zhivago. Brief encounter.
If you know what we're talking about, let us know. Then we'll know how old you are.
Tell me.
Send us an email to drunkardsbookclub@gmail.com.
Describe the video for Nate in an email.
I wonder if that must be out there somewhere.
Oh, 100%. It's still out there.
Okay, so Zayden, who was the bad guy, the bad boy in the first book, and now is like the best boy and so hot. But how, and so they were, so Violet and Zayden, they get together at the end of the last book, and they were like literally mid-fuck when they got interrupted by griffins being like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? But
coitus interruptus, yeah.
And because of the book plot, it's, and they took the I can't live without you literally. So like if one of them dies, it kills their dragons and the other one. So if anything happens to any of the five of them, there's a good chance that they will all die. So, you know.
If they're in a dragon Mexican standoff.
Yeah. Or like a perpetual dragon group fuck.
It's a polycule.
Yeah. And you know, those always go great. And also the littlest one is currently going through dragon puberty in this book.
Oh yeah, she's a real bitch about it.
You don't even understand me.
I didn't ask for this.
Thank God Aunt Darna was only in it a tiny bit. Thank God she was asleep in the dragon's sleep the whole time. She was in her so room. Annoying. She was so annoying. Like it was only really like one scene, like right near poems. The beginning. But it's like the author really made this character a bitchy teenage girl. Like, come on.
Also, her scales keep changing color, like her hair when she's 14.
Dragon keeps coming back with like a different studded bracelet from Claire's. Hot Topic.
Mom, I don't even like Dashboard anymore. That was 2 months ago.
She's just constantly, just drop me off on the corner. I'll just walk in. I don't go up to their house.
So in any book, you can't have the two characters who are romantically interested in each other actually be together because, or at least for most of the book, because then there's no conflict. So you have to invent some stupid way for them to have conflict, even though they were together. But now they're like, no, now I hate you because it's book two. So we have to have conflict. So Zayden didn't tell her. Zayden knew about all these things going on with the venom and stuff like that, but didn't tell her. And now she's so mad that he didn't tell her. And he's still like, I can't tell you everything. And when there's also does this dumb thing, which is absolutely borrowed from Wheel of Time, which like, I didn't lie. I just told selective truths, which is a big thing in Wheel of Time because people can't lie.
But he keeps saying to her, you could ask me anything you want. And she's like, but I don't even know what to ask. And then she just storms off. And he's like, oh, fucking. And
she's not, Christ. Even though she's so smart because she was going to be a scholar.
She took three AP classes.
She never bothers to go. Yeah. She took AP English.
I'm taking pre-calc.
She never bothers to just say, tell me everything I need to know or get the fuck out. She's just like, I don't know what to ask. And he's like, well, you never asked me. And he's like, oh. Anyway,
you know
that's
what?
Like the conflict.
I think it's a fucking superpower move because he's turning around the kind of bullshit that high school girlfriends say to you when they're like, you should know why I'm mad. He's doing that. You should know what to ask. And she's like, I don't even know. He's like, you should know. If you have to ask, I guess you don't really care.
Yeah, everything's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's, you know what? No, go with your boys. Have fun. That's fine. That's great. I want you to have fun. He also... Oh, no, that's much later. I'm sorry. Can't give it away. They can't give away the twist yet.
Oh, my God. Okay, so there are so many things I want to say about why the book is bad, but also there's so much plot to talk about.
All right, important thing for like the first, I don't know, third, is they introduced a new character, Professor Umbridge. I mean, Major Varish, who is a new teacher for no reason, just hates Violet. And because this is half Hogwarts, half Oz, like prison.
Yeah, not Wizard of.
The teachers could just beat children, like torture them.
His dragon murders an entire squad at the opening ceremony.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, don't we all hate Mondays? Like, he just doesn't care. There are no repercussions. And they're like, well, fill out your Delaney card.
This is a world where like a dragon bonds with a human, and if the human dies, the dragon also generally dies, unless they're like freshly fucked. But like his dragon just wipes out a whole bunch of them, and they're like, whatever. Teach is going to teach, you know.
One mic, guys.
You're not holding the conch.
Turn and talk about that. So then, yeah, and then he's just, he's like Professor Snaping Violet the whole time. It's like every time she opens her mouth, he's like, that's a real bitch thing to say, Violet. And then he just is mean to her. She's like, what the fuck? I don't even understand. What's that? He's like, what's your power? Shooting lightning? Shoot lightning till you die. That's your homework.
Yeah, it really was.
She's like, I don't really, what, how do I just get a B?
A B for more lightning.
And then he keeps torturing her, and that only stops when her dragon, I gotta say, the audiobook. I can't, obviously I'm not an audiobook narrator. It's a hard job. But the voice the woman did for Tarn was so shitty.
It just sounded like a lady who'd been smoking for a long time.
It sounded like a lady who was taking a shit. Like she's just like, Silver One! Because they have psychic three-way calls in their head.
No, they're always in a psychic group chat.
It's like, oh, I just put it on, I just do not disturb mode. I don't want to hear more about this.
Check out this link.
I don't even know what that emoji is. But then the dragon, Tarn, gets all mad. And then, like, dragon rapes Varish's dragon. Like, he dragon cucks him. And he's like, I'm going to kill you, dragon. And then it, say you're sorry to my person. And he does. But then he's like, instantly, he's like, I'm going to get you, kid. And it's like, why does this guy exist? What is the point of this character that's so mean to her? And the rest of the faculty sees this, and they're like, yeah, well, it's Dragon College. I don't know what to tell you.
This is a college where children are routinely killed and allowed to kill each other. It's just part of school, you know. School of hard knocks.
School of hard cocks.
Sometimes, yeah.
I mean, it is. It's a very horny, horny school. The Horny Military Academy, Breast Point. So that's the first conflict. Zayden, oh, and she's mad, and her old friend Dean psychically mugged her in the last book to know their plans, because everyone has a signet power. Everyone has a special dragon-powered thing, which I thought about this. Was this explained? Because she keeps channeling Tarn's power to do stuff. But Tarn can't shoot lightning bolts.
It's created from a hodgepodge of magic that melds with your juju with your dragon.
It's more like she channels his magic essence to manifest her power. But this channeling is absolutely borrowed from Wheel of Time.
Also, it's revealed in this book that she's not actually shooting lightning. What she can do is channel power itself.
The power of the One Ring. the other thing that's obviously from Wheel of Time, I mean, probably just a general thing, but I remember it in Wheel of Time when she keeps saying,
that's a really big wheel.
This book is almost as long as the fucking Wheel of Time books, but she goes, I have to put everything into my little like emotion box, and it made me think of, what the fuck's the main guy's name in Wheel of Time?
Brand Althor.
And he's just like, I put everything in the flame. And like, that's how he focuses. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I gotta just rub this one out, put it in the flame, and then I can go back to my quest. So the Dane's a narc, the narc friend. And so she's like, I hate Dane. She very publicly breaks up with him as a friend.
Because she blames him for sending them all into this fight in the last book that killed their friends.
She has this secret about the fact that her brother is alive and that there's this rebellion that is still a secret from everybody else, but because his signet power is to read your mind when he touches your face, she's like, don't touch my face. And
well, he can read memories, which is a different thing apparently from like the other
clearly
powers.
Some of the people, some of the top generals at the school know that she knows, but yet most of the other students don't, but yet what they're doing is they're just assassinating a bunch of the other kids that were there that day, but they don't, and they try to assassinate her too.
Which is just the plot of Final Destination.
But also, she, because she now has the secret that she's trying to protect, she can't let Dane near her.
But he is a Judas piece of shit.
Yeah, I know. He's a dick. And well, I also like, didn't understand why he switched sides halfway through the book. Okay, so there's a bunch of stuff that happens.
But do they kill kids for bullshit school reasons? Like a guy goes to the library and they're like, this book's overdue, and then they kill him. Like they don't. They just kill him.
Oh, man. Like,
that guy went to the library.
Well, that's because he took out a book that they figured, like he was researching the secret stuff that they're not allowed to know about.
That's for periodicals. That's non-circulating.
But just the idea that if you return the book late, they'll kill you. It's like, wow, librarians must fucking love this book. That's my fantasy.
So now we've set up the first book of this book. What happens, Nate?
So some of the classes they're taking, they're Defense of the Dark... Defense against the dark arts.
Of the dark shorts.
It's a big class. Torture class and orienteering. Those are their two classes they're taking. Apparently.
They also have dragon physics.
That's an expeditionary learning school. But, yeah, dragon physics, which we never get to see much of that
said,
class.
Oh, they said, like, what are the three fundamental forces of dragon jumping? It's like momentum, velocity, pitch. And dragon. I don't know.
Yaw?
Ma, it's called maw there.
Oh, acceleration. Multiply by 9.8 meters per second squared to acceleration due to dragon. Did you factor in the drag then? But they're taking torture class.
No, it's withstanding torture class.
And they're like... Make sure you do the reading. So when they get tortured later, one guy's like, is now a bad time to say I didn't do the reading?
No, that was the orienteering section where they get dumped in the middle of the wilderness with some infantry. And they're like, find your way home.
Who are the definition of expendable each other. Characters.
And most of them live. So one of the things this book does... much like Divergent, is just constantly introduce new characters just so they can immediately die in the next chapter and to make you feel bad.
But every time they die, she acts like they mattered. And I'm like, who was that one?
I think some of them were in the first book, but yeah, I couldn't remember most of them. The infantry people weren't in the first book. They're just like, if you can't get on a dragon, you can't read, then you go to infantry and you die en masse every time there is a battle because we have fucking dragons. Like they infantry. Die by the thousand and no one gives a fuck.
Well, they should have taken their SATs more seriously. I don't know what to tell you.
So they also have to take the torture class, which sets up really like the middle part of the book, which was the only part I actually was into, where Violet
the best part
gets
of the sandwich,
basically
baby.
Kidnapped.
there's the meat.
Violet gets kidnapped by Umbridge and... is being tortured, but she in because he, okay, the dude is trying to get her to admit or like where the rebellion is or where her friends are. I forget what it was, but like
who
she's just trying to
two
keep
work
the secret.
For?
She's just trying to like keep the secret and has to like resist torture for days.
There are several rounds of her being tortured by this guy. There's one where it's like an actual class, and then there's the time when it's like. After they break into the secret library when she gets tortured.
Yeah.
Which one are you?
Oh, yeah. They broke into the secret library. They stole the two journals of the original dragon writers from 600 years ago. And it's like, first of all, that's not actually that long ago.
Because everything's vaguely medieval. That is
yeah,
a long
it's
time.
Like, that's like not that long ago. But also, that was
it
a
is
thing,
in a 6,000-year-old world, Nate.
It's true.
Yeah. Those dragons were put there by God to test our faith.
So they got stole the journals, which is a whole lot of like backstory dump I just did not pay attention to. So I'm like, oh, I guess that was important.
Her goal for this whole book is to figure out how to, because they're where they live, Dave Navarro country. The bad guys can't get in because they have magic. Basically, it comes down to Star Wars again, like an Iron Dome. over the country. That it's a magic dome that the bad dragons and the griffins can't get into it. Like it's like a force field, and she wants to know how to make that happen other places, because the secret base they are at, where they had the fight, where the rebels are, has a big broken one. Like sitting in the basement, like an old VCR player. She's like, I just got to figure out how to repair this thing, and then you could watch.
I just have to figure out how to set the time. You know, it just keeps blinking 12.
How do I get it to channel 3?
There's no channels at all. So she's like, if I read the journals of the people that made the first one, I can figure out how, maybe. And so they have to steal them.
For plot purposes, I'm confident they will say.
Well, the biggest bullshit plot point of this one was, it's in the secret royal family vault that only a member of the king's family get into. Luckily, one of those kids of his is a freshman this year, and he's pretending he's not the king's son. So we'll just bring him back for this chapter. And he's like, I'm only doing this because I hate my dad. Literally, he says that.
Yeah, it's like he's saying, Danks, Dad. This beer is called Dank Dads. Because he says to someone, I think it's Dane, the only person I hate, oh no, it's Ryerson. He's like, the only person I hate more than him is my dad.
Yeah.
And the fucking emo fucking annoying dragon is like, yeah, me too. But this is a West Coast IPA from Other Half that is really good. Not that West Coast, which makes it nice. But they go there's also an extended bunch of dialogue with the deaf archivist student, Jasenia or something like that was her name. And every single character knows ASL, which is impressive. I mean, that must be the second language they teach, because they don't learn any of the other languages of their world.
Well, they make it a point.
Well, they're Americans then.
Yeah, they are basically American. Well, they make it a point in one of the classes is like, our country, you know, consumed a few smaller ones nearby and eradicated their culture and languages, and they gave that up to be part of our country and to be safe from monsters. And so, you know, no one knows these languages anymore, but luckily she's a big nerd and speaks, you know, Sanskrit or whatever, so she can read these journals that happen. Because she was going to be a nerd as a job, but now she's a dragon leather lady.
Those people could have been eaten by dragons, and they chose to go to, like, the fucking Dragon Carlisle Indian School to save the man. had to get their culture stamped out of them. And all the characters, like, there's trade-offs for everything, and the professor's like, isn't that a profound lesson I've taught you? Because that's what Rebecca Yarros thinks is profundity.
Don't do a racism unless you really have to.
Well, unless it's for their own good.
Yeah. You know? This is our burden.
Exactly.
Listen, those unwashed masses, they need help. The kind of help only a strong white man can give. Atop a dragon. A grand dragon.
Oh, shit. Why is a group of dragons called a clan in this book?
And there is one dragon that that is a cyclops. It has one eye.
Oh, yeah, that's the bad guy's dragon. One,
yeah. The bad guy's dragon is a cyclops. He's fucking... you know that guy was white.
He was absolutely white, yeah.
He's constantly like, the South will rise again. I kept saying it.
He's actually worried about the South rising again.
Earlier in the book... what's her name? Violet and Zayden, they're like fighting a lot. Not fighting, but they're like, you just won't be truthful with me. But then he gets promoted. No, he graduates. And so he gets stationed way off in another thing that's like weeks away. But then they can't, like, they have to only can visit each other like every other Saturday. And then she goes there. But yet,
shore leave.
Yeah, basically.
Well, their dragons can't go that long without seeing each other because they're bonded and they'll die or some shit. So they have to go to each other's place.
Sex.
They have to trade weekends.
They
have custody of the people.
But then there's like a report that shows. So Violet's sitting in class and I was like, oh, there's been an attack at blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh my God, Zayden, he's probably hurt. And then she like flies off, just leaves. She goes completely AWOL and just like, I'm going to go over, check it to see if he's okay. And turns out he is okay. And then it's like, and then they're like, So the first time they fuck is in the shower. So they're
it
like
seems hotter than it usually ends up being, I'm told.
And well,
they
also
they didn't have hot water back then.
No, he does have a. She gets all worked up from her magic, and she's like steaming. And
she
like,
overheats.
Take a cold shower, bitch.
Because if she does too much lightning, she explodes.
And so she also shoots lightning when she's having sex. And I was like, aren't they going to electrocute themselves?
She does do that later.
Yeah. No, themselves in
the
shower.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, she makes it a point that, like, I'm going to use electricity on the wet to win this fight. So, yeah, it should kill them.
Yeah. I thought there could have been a funny thing like, ooh, ah.
Every time he puts his dong in there, he gets like,
static.
You are turned on.
Like a light switch. You can hear the click. No,
go do it, Nate. Make more disgusting vagina electricity jokes.
I also thought, I also at this time had the idea like, okay. Sometime in the later in the series, it's a big battle scene, and it's just Violet against like hundreds and hundreds of guys, hundreds and hundreds of like enemy dragons or whatever. And so, Zayden fucks her so hard that she shoots a ton of lightning and just wipes them all out.
Don't give her ideas. You know there's still two more books to come.
This could be a weapon.
I need you to fry them. She's like, electrocute him? Use the shocker.
They do mention a lot about his fingering techniques in this, so yeah.
I don't remember where in the plot, I think it's still to come at this point. Aren't they all? Where you find out about his ex-girlfriend, the like Grand Duchess of whatever the fuck town.
Yeah.
Cat.
She's called Cat.
Nominative determinism. She's a catty bitch, and she...
That's her signet power, being a giant bitch.
Her power is to just make you more emotional. She has menopause powers. She just, like, makes you more emotional of whatever you have.
She pushes your buttons.
And so she's just, like, you know, just, like, says something. Like, oh, Zayden and you are together, huh? Well, you know, at least he's happy. And then they're like, what the fuck does that mean? And then they just stew and get mad. And then, and Violet is very, very jealous of Kat. But before that, I think, is when you gotta talk about the secret library. Nate.
Back to the middle. They break into the library. They get the books. Violet gets tortured for days. They bring Dane in, the mind reader, too. Finally, after she's been beat. Oh, yeah. By the way, another thing about this torture scene is her torture is just getting like slapped in the face a bunch of times.
They break bones and shit.
Real torture. Is so much more severe than that. Like I sort of know why she wouldn't have put this in the book, but man, if you want to get some information out of somebody or you want to get something out of them, because they will tell you what you want to hear, like the horrible things that people do to each other in real torture. It's not just like, oh yeah, no, she'd just been punched in the face a bunch of times. Oh no, that's nothing. That is...
Yeah, they haven't pulled her fingernails out yet with a pliers and, you know, branded her. These horrible, horrible
things.
Hooked
a car battery up to her balls.
Well, she probably would have liked that.
True.
Yeah. That would have rejuvenated her.
Electric powers, yeah. She's that kind of Pokemon or whatever. I don't know. That wasn't very effective.
Zapdos.
Well, he's like, I'm going to read her mind. And she's like, no, don't. And eventually he's like, okay, I believe her. This guy's definitely a bad general man. And so he helps her escape. And Zayden shows up also. And then they all kill the bad general together. I forget why he changes his mind, but honestly, it doesn't really matter. It's because he's gonna. And then they have to escape because they just, you know, they just killed an important dude in their world. And so they all run away. And her mom shows up. He's like, oh, did you kill that guy? He's like, yeah, he's a dick. He's like, all right, well, you know, just make sure you have your gloves.
Dane learns about the Venom and stuff, and he's like, they've been lying to me.
Oh, does he actually read the memories? Yeah.
I don't remember if he does or not. But then is he the one that kills? He kills Varys, right?
Well, he fucks him up, and then they tie him up, and then Zayden and Violet together stab him in the death parts of his body. So they kill him. Because he's like, I'll let her kill him since he just tortured her for a week.
But she like doesn't have the strength to do it, right?
Yeah,
like,
so Zayden, in his best boyfriend kind of way, helps her murder him.
We'll do it together on three.
But yet also, Violet's mother is there, is like, yes, I made a deal with him, and it was to protect you. I made a deal with him years ago, and this was the favor, something like that. But also at this point, like, they're like, if anyone wants to come and join the rebellion, come join us. And so like half the cadets just join the rebellion, and then they leave.
No, we forgot about Evil Jack.
Oh, but can we just before one other thing before they like leave school for the rest of the book?
Yeah.
When there's going through like, oh, Varish is such a prick and he's making us do these drills. They know about this conspiracy and murder and like the ethnic cleansing that's happening at the border where refugees are just being killed. They're cool with all that. But there's a part where they say in the book, Varish made us do another night drill or risk giving everyone a zero. It's like they still care about their participation grade.
Yeah.
I thought that was so funny. Like, that's what matters? Well, yeah, I lose my scholarship. My grade drops.
I'm not going to make the dean's list.
Then I won't be able to play on the ping pong team in the spring. But then, Evil Jack, who you're like, who the fuck is that? Jack was the
sociopath
in book one. Fortunately, he's been replaced by a variety of other sociopaths in book two. But
you thought he was dead. Like, Violet killed him with her lightning powers.
She made a mountain fall on him. A landslide crushed him.
Yeah, but he got better.
And then, like, it took a lot of PT, but he is back.
Two knee replacements. In this book, they have magic healers. You can also just be a healer. That's your thing. And they're like, I've been healing this guy for like fucking 8 months, you know, just like bone by bone. He's still alive somehow. And you're like, oh, and he's like, sorry, I was, you know, having a mountain dropped on me really made me remember, like, I was kind of a dick, so I'm going to try not to be a dick this time. And you're like, I bet, Evil Jack.
They dug him out from under the landslide, and he was basically just a haggis. we need to fucking turn this into a human being again. He had a lot of time to think about what he did.
But at first, when he's reintroduced, like, ah, I'm back, I'm healed, he's, like, nice to Violet, and everyone's in this, like, oh, that's weird. That's
he saves her
not suspicious.
Point.
Yeah. Saves her in an assassination attempt. And then he's like, oh, yeah, you killed me and now I saved you. So now we're even. And it's like, what? No, wait. Meanwhile, so in this part of the middle part of this book,
mate. We don't get it.
Middle part of the book, the torture scene. The torture scene, and then they like take half the cadets and stuff like this. Like, this part of the book was actually kind of interesting and was a way better climax than anything in the set. This should have been the end of the book. This should have been like, this should have been the final climax of the whole book. And the book should have been only half as long. This really should have been like, this could have been a whole book by itself, and we didn't need the second half, is actually what I'm saying.
I'm just going to say, I don't think we needed the first half. We needed the first half? I don't know. But I think you're right.
Let's start somewhere.
Yeah. My first offer is half. It's like a Turkish bazaar. I'll take half the book. I can't do more than half. So then what the fuck happens? I don't remember anymore.
So then they run away to
I was listening at 3x speed.
No, they're running away to the rebel base where all the bosses are like, we brought all these kids here. We better just continue school. They're like, no, not school again. Why is it always school?
Sit on your line spots.
Yeah. And so then they're like trying to, another thing in the book they've been doing is like trying to get certain kind of metal because the metal is used to kill the Venon. You need this magic metal. And also the metal is used to power the ward stuff. So they've been sneaking that out. Now they're like, oh, we got to get some more, but we need this special MacGuffin device to make it into weapons. And some rich guy over there has it, but he's kind of a sex pest, and his whole fetish is he wants to meet you. And I don't want to bring you over to him Violet because he's a sex pest. And she's like, no,
he's just really, he's a foot guy.
Yeah,
it's gonna be weird.
Yeah, like I'll wear weird shoes, whatever. We need this thing. And so they go there, and he was like, I want to see you shoot lightning out of your puss or some weird shit. He's like, oh, all right, man. I've done weirder stuff.
And then she has to fight him. I was in Thailand shooting the ping pong balls out of it. But they're looking for a luminary. They say it about 4,000 times.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, and I was like, am I supposed to remember that? What the fuck is that?
What the fuck is a luminary? Which is
not the writer of this book.
It's the MacGuffin device to make more of the weapons.
But it's not a good one.
No.
And they've been smuggling daggers into the fucking bad place.
In the dragon's place, prison the whole wallet.
Book. Because yeah, no one searches a dragon. They're too haughty.
Yeah.
And then he brings out like a coffin. And it's a coffin. And Zayden's like, that was the most precious thing in my father's kingdom. And he's like, zap it. And inside of it's a dead guy or something like that.
It's a fucking venom inside, and her siblings run out to like help her. And then this is where, you know, it's raining and she uses electricity to shock the ground and kill it. And okay, she killed another one with her lightning powers. And then they're like, all right, I'm going to use the luminary now. And they're like, that is done now. Cool. And so then they have to prepare for a big fight, and then they have to go meet the general from the old place, whose power is seeing the outcome of every battle, which is, once again, you should have finished this war a long time ago if that was your power. And he's like, there's a whole fuck ton cunt of wyverns, which are the bad dragons, coming to beat us, and I've seen the future, and we're going to lose, so we need your help. And everyone's like, you guys suck. Fuck yourselves to death. And then they leave. And then they're going to do a fight. Like, we got to go fight them because we're the good guys now in the book. And we got to go do the fight. And she's like, I'm going to get the magic rocks working again through magic because I figured out the magic.
And translation.
Yes. So I'm going to run this through Google Translate 9, 10, 11 times to really nail it down. And she figures out that she got it wrong because the stone's not working. And also she has to use magic to heal the stone. I don't know. A bunch of magic shit happens. She's like, we need 7 kinds of dragons, not 6. And then Andarna's
That's at the very end.
But first
she thinks it's 6.
She thinks it's 6. Like,
I don't know why it didn't work.
They've heard of the original 6, which are the first half of the 11 herbs and spices. But they think of the 6 original dragon riders all kept a journal, and it's a live journal, actually, and they got to go back and read
one
it.
One was a dead journal.
One was a dead journal, and one guy was just, it was just a lot of MySpace updates. But they have, they're trying to translate, and then in the middle of translating it, she realizes they were the dragons or something stupid.
You need the dragon blood, not the rider blood.
Yeah, the riders didn't matter, which should have been obvious, because the fucking dragons are the magic ones, and humans are like their expendable little, you know, succubi.
Yeah.
And then Andarna, the special dragon that in the first, like since the first book, like what the fuck does she have to do? What is this other dragon here for?
Because she's a kid dragon. So in this one, she's an angsty teen.
And all dragons are born yellow, which is just sounds very racist, but they are, because dragons, you know, anyway, they become a different race after puberty. And then they realize Andarna is black, and she's like, oh my God, I will definitely never go back now. But then Andarna's like, no, Andarna's like camouflaged. Andarna's a special dragon. She is the 7th type of dragon. And you're like, oh, thank goodness. I was really worried they weren't going to solve this problem.
Yes, and just in time, too, because she said, I sat an egg for 600 years waiting for the time that the 7th kind would be needed, because she's the first one in a long time.
But the 7th kind of dragon is handicapped? Like, she has a fucked up wing?
Well, the type of dragon is really just different color of dragon. I mean, they also have different, you know, characteristics
like people,
that we never learn about. Yeah, pretty much shit.
Just like people.
Yes, you know, that's why the fiery Latin tempers, or what was it, from a fucking mustache guy.
Etienne. Oh, what the fuck? Agatha Christie Hercule books.
Poirot, yeah. Yes.
Poirot, yeah.
Hot Latin He's blood.
Solved all his crimes
made
through
him
racism.
Made him do the murder, yeah.
I think in some ways police work hasn't changed.
But no, they just don't solve them. They just do it. This happened to be right. But she is like, you got to fix the magic stone so they can't get the bad guys in here. And we're going to go fight them all while you do this. And they got to fight off a whole lot of monster dragons.
But there's a lot of, like, the dragon has a gimpy wing.
Yeah. And she's got, like, a birth defect.
And everyone's like, it's cool. Just don't look at it. You know, don't make it. You know, just, you know, just don't talk about it. And we, you know, it's fine. And the other one's like, God damn it. I didn't know you can catch dragon Danlos syndrome. And this one is all fucked up now on the wing. And it's, is it because I bothered her during, what was it? It had a fucking really stupid name. The Dream of Sleep or something like that?
No, it was because it was back in the first book when she used her power to stop time.
Oh, yeah.
It's like used all her power as a child dragon, and therefore you can't grow up to be a full dragon. Something like
that.
She
didn't get enough raw milk, and now she's stunted.
Well, she got dragontism.
Yeah.
Because she was vaccinated. But then they get into this whole other bunch of bullshit of dragon lore where it's like, what happens if you have two dragons? Do you get two signet powers?
No, you get, if no one has two dragons. She's the first person ever to have two dragons.
Right.
But Zayden, his dragon was his grandfather's dragon. And if your dragon bonds with two people of the same, like, direct descendantry, then that second person gets a second magic power.
But compound, no one thinks about dragon it, interest.
That shit never happens, yeah. And so she's like, what's your second secret power? He's like, don't ever ask me about my butthole again. And and it turned, because in the first book,
how fucking good I could play the spoons.
He's like a spoon wizard.
Fucking spoon man? Oh, shit.
Ting-a-da-ting-ting-ting. And then it turns out that he's psychic.
Solve any Sudoku. he's an Intinzinnik, and I did think it was very funny that I referred to that as the N-word in the first book. And then he's like, yeah. I am. And this is, and Rebecca Yarros did confirm he was a person of color. And you're like, oh my God, that's not how you were supposed to do it.
Oh, did she?
But, well, no, not by making him the N-word of their magic world. Because Intinzik has like seven N's in it. But they kill the Intinzik, so he's got a secret power.
But he can't read thoughts exactly. He can just read people's intentions. It's like, he intends to piss on me.
In this world.
I mean, it's pulling his penis out right now.
But
my there's this thing how powers are cluing in.
There's this thing how, oh, but Intinziks are killed on sight. You're not allowed. And it's like, because they're just that too dangerous. It's like, well, okay, but why is that actually more dangerous than just like being able to set people on fire and shoot them with lightning? It's like that.
I think it was like they couldn't, because when everyone gets their power, they can't control it. And so, like, people that do fire sometimes explode because they don't know what they're doing. And, like, other people fuck things up. Like, Violet
but
almost explodes.
As long as they live, they're allowed to live. It's the intrinsics.
It's because, like, they can't control what they're hearing, and they're going to hear secret things they're not supposed to. And it's just like they think they're losing their minds and start yelling shit. And they're going to give. In a country founded on lies and secrets, you can't have people yelling secrets, I think, is a thing. I mean, ostensibly, it's like they lose their minds, you know, so we have to kill them because it's the only merciful way to go. But really, it's probably because they don't want people knowing all the secret shit.
But somehow, he has got the best poker face ever, and he has hidden his secret special power.
So they're going to have to fight all these bad guys, and they're going to do it. And, you know, then there's like what feels like an entire action film. At the end of the book, it's literally like, even on like 2.5 speed, that shit was like over an hour long. It's a full book of battle, which I'll admit, it was like the last book. Like, it was pretty dumb throughout it, but then like at the end, like there's a pretty legit action sequence that's, not, it's well written. I'll give her that. It's hard to do a three-dimensional multi-character. It's not genius. It's not a high work of art. And it's not, you know, incredible. But, like, compared to the fucking scenes, like, you know what? I actually kind of enjoyed this part.
Oh, God. There was some really... I wish I had not done the audiobook because I would have highlighted more text because the fucking scenes were really bad.
The sex scenes?
Yeah.
They're extraordinarily graphic. Like, way more than, like, the romance books we've done.
Because this is fantasy.
Yeah, I guess. But they're also really long. They're really long. Like the dick, yes.
She does at one point talk about... She's always talking about how hot Zayden is. Like, look at his ripped abs and his
She becomes
shoulders.
A fucking, like, sex fiend every time she looks at him. It's, you know, it borders on sexism. Like, look at this woman, can't control herself around a hot guy. It's like, holy shit. She's like a, you know, she's a fairly competent revolutionary leader and, you know, schemer, but she sees that guy in like a leather outfit and she's like, I am gushing right now. I can't even look straight at this battle because that guy is ultimately fuckable.
The fuck is that word? Like that fake mania for like horny woman?
Nymphomania?
Nymphomania, thank you.
Yeah.
There's another name for it. I'm trying to remember the other name. But she's talked about how ripped he is and how tall he is and how dark his nipples are. And then she's just like, and his cock. Oh, my God, that cock.
It's but, like getting but, fisted by a salami.
It's yeah, it's like a small anti-aircraft gun. but then there is a graphic blowjob scene.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm no expert. But I don't think it sounded that great. I don't think it sounded like the greatest blowjob ever. She was just like, I lick his penis, and he's like, I'm going to come. I mean, yeah, but like, you know, there's more to it. Even the fucking dumb Hawk Tua girl gave more detail.
There's also the scene where he like goes down on her in the throne of his dad's house. He's like, I've always wanted to do that. Like, oh, that's a weird thought. All right. He's like, but I'm not going to fuck you because I know you don't trust me yet. I'm going to go down on you a bunch, but I want to prove to you that you can trust me and not have secrets because I won't fuck you after I go down on you because that is logic.
But because of their special bond, she hears his thoughts and he's like, I just want to fuck you on this chair so bad.
That's why why he can talk to her while his mouth is full.
Yeah.
And the dragons are like, please stop. Please stop. This is so uncomfortable.
So it's really awkward because they get to hear like the rubbing of his nose and the pubes. And then they...
but this then is like all those stories you read on the internets about people like, I turned the porn on my computer really loud and I forgot that I had Bluetoothed to the living room speakers.
Superfan Eli has a friend who isn't with a girlfriend anymore. Or like he... was fapping in the bathroom, and I don't think that was the one reason they broke up, but from what I understand, like that is a thing. And someone sent me an Instagram thing of a comedian talking about that, saying, you know, during COVID I almost lost my girlfriend, not because of COVID but because of a Bluetooth speaker. And Eli was like, I gotta send it. That guy will know this
goat porn.
It must be very jarring when all of a sudden you hear certain noises out of the Bluetooth speaker. But so she goes to Zayden, she's like, don't you want to fuck me doggy style on your dad's throne till I like scratch the wood or something? He's like, yeah, but I'm not gonna because I have self-control. I'm gonna do that to you in 45 minutes to prove a point.
And also, she's like, I'm wearing leather pants all the time and they're very hard to take off.
There is a part where she sees his like boner in the leather pants and she's like, that's just cruel. Like it's like encased. It's like Han Solo in the carbonite.
It's like seeing a lion at the zoo in a cage.
It's Harambe. I can't remember more of the sex scene stuff I wanted to talk about. Nate, what was your favorite part to jack it to in the book?
Oddly, not the sex scenes. It was the reading parts. Look at these linguists.
Okay, but can I use one last...
Cunning linguist.
Oh, man. I was really hoping there'd be something with Colonel Atos. Do you guys remember the Saturday Night Live Colonel Angus
bit? Colonel Angus, yeah.
I do not.
They're like all Southerners at the end of the Civil War.
Is it Christopher Walken?
It's Christopher Walken, and they're all sitting on a porch about Colonel Angus is coming. They say it like clear as day the first time, and then their just Southern accents get ridiculous, and they're like, I never cared much for Colonel Angus. And they just keep saying things that are clearly, you know, meant to be double entendre or whatever. And it's Christopher Walken shows up in like a fucking, you know, Union uniform. And he's like, the incident at Big Beaver. Lost many men in the bush. Whatever he says. Anyway, I was really hoping Colonel Adas, or there would be a Colonel Angus joke in there. But with the linguistics shit, I got really mad because she describes it badly in the brief detail she gives. She goes, it's a logosyllabic language. No, it's not. No, logosyllabic is a writing system, not a language.
Well, I guess they're reading.
Yeah, but like they're like trying to sound nerdy, but they're saying the wrong thing. It's like, it just pissed me off so much because that's something I have read many Wikipedia articles about, and I know the right word.
It's the case whenever someone like talks about something you actually know something about, you're like, ooh, no, that's no.
But usually it's, you know, when they talk about playing guitar or something, I was like, that's not how that fucking works. But I was like, man, that's a pretty basic thing. And so that explains why it takes them 600 pages to translate a dragon's diary. Right? That's like the dragon diaries they're translating.
Yeah.
And at the end, there's like, oh, it says, I eat the sheep and magic comes out of my tail or whatever.
Yeah. For some reason, she confused 6 and 7. Or maybe like she realized that one of them was lying or something. But the end result is, you know, they need another dragon while everyone else fights. And then they have a big fight, and it wouldn't do any good to explain it because there's a big fight and they're jumping on dragons. And also, she has a crossbow that shoots exploding crossbow bolts because why the fuck not? Fuck it. Yeah, let's go for it. I don't even care at this point, baby. Just do it. Blow some bad guys up, shoot lightning out of your cooter, you know, nuke them from the sky. And there's a lot of dragon stuff. And then at the very
end, there's a dramatic scene at the end where she's trying to charge. She's trying to charge her iPhone. No, she's trying to charge up the stone.
Does anyone have the new charger?
All of her power. Yeah, exactly. No, do you have the new one?
This is not a USB-C.
It used to be called Lightning. So she's trying to charge up the stone, but she doesn't have enough power. But then her mom shows up with another cadet, and it's like, we can do it. Because her mom's power is like wind?
Her mom makes storms. Please. Which is makes Violet's powers more stronger because she's good at storms, lightnings. But the cadet she brings is Liam's little sister, who has been trying to whine the entire book about Liam being killed, saying, you killed my brother. She's like, no, I didn't. She's like, I'm going to get you, bitch. But then in a throwaway scene where they do a team building exercise with the Griffin Riders, where they walk over a mountain, they have to fight the Nazi Umbridge's guy's dragon, and they find out that this girl's power is she's a siphon, which means she can like suck the power out of stuff to make other people stronger. And so she's conveniently
she's very popular with the boys.
She siphoned everyone.
What else can she suck out of you?
And so the mom is like, siphon me. And so they drain her and give her powers to Violet. I don't remember exactly.
But that gets the ward. Oh, yes. That charges the stone. It gets it to 100%. And then finally they can put their shields up. And then that basically like ends the big battle that's going on because the wards like take out all the wyvern. And then that ends the big battle, except in Zayden. Okay, so Zayden's been fighting this whole time, and he lives, but yet there's a dark secret because he was fighting one of the Venin and he somehow turned into one.
Yeah, I don't get how that happens. Is it like an
STD? I don't either. I
I think I do know, actually, but go on, Nate. Sorry.
I was just going to say, the magic in this book is clearly the kind that doesn't play by any sort of rules. It's just kind of like whatever the author wants to have happen just happens, and or there's a character that can just do it at any time. You know,
there's a bunch of conveniently placed characters. Yeah.
Because instead of just like one thing and everybody's learning this one sort of magic, which is what the Wheel of Time is and a lot of other things, and suddenly it's actually the Twilight rules, whereas you just manifest a weird random power. And because there are a million characters, everybody with a million random powers is going on. And so it's just happening all the time, and you never know. And like whatever thing is happening, there's a random character with the magic power that's like, oh yeah, I can do that.
That was her writing strategy every time. She's like, what do I do next? Oh yeah, I'll have a character who has that power. Because nobody repeats powers, but yet they all know them. They're like, oh, he's a this
Some people do repeat them. Like there's a lot, all the characters that are like side characters, unnamed, there's like, he's a fire guy, she's a wind lady, this guy does ice.
Queefer.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are some that are generic, and like there's the memory people. There are some like, oh, that's one of those. That's one of those. And then like all the important characters have like awesome, unique powers, and that's what makes them cool.
Yeah, that's a standard shitty writing technique, I feel like. All the main characters, it just so happened to have the unique special qualities that will solve every problem. But one of the things about the magic, the Venin are the people who have channeled magic without a dragon condom.
Oh,
and that's why they're all fucked up. So when Zayden, in his fight against the Emperor, there's the Venin wizard who keeps tormenting them in their dreams.
Grand
like,
High Wizard.
Venin Sauron, yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, this guy's there. And then he like taps into the earth magic. He's like, I gotta kill this. And that turns Zayden into a Venin.
Because earlier, Jack also turns out he didn't actually get better. He was a Venin the whole time, and he destroyed the stone at Basquiat's college. He's like, I prefer Warhol's work, and he just destroys it. Just to,
Keith Haring.
So yeah, I didn't. I mean, I could tell like Jack was going to be a bad guy, of course. But like, was he like he was like a secret bad guy, or like, do they come back if they die and they get come back? Is that how it happens? But I guess it's like a magic.
Why thing, so. Did they heal him? That was never explained. Like. He died by getting crushed under a mountain.
I guess he wasn't
far off
dead.
Thing in a far off battle that everyone pretended was a secret anyway.
No, how no, she killed him. She killed him when they were at the threshing, didn't she?
Oh,
It was when they were doing the dragon picking shit.
Well, no, she had to already be picked to have power.
It was near the end of the book. Maybe it wasn't the final battle, but it was still pretty near the end.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Maybe it was at...
The other book was also 900 pages, so...
Too many.
But yes, at the end of this one, they put the wards up, but Zayden has now got demon pink eye, and...
He's got dragon aids.
We don't know what that really effectively means. Like, I don't know. I guess that means he will be evil, but maybe it's just like a... It's like having herpes. Like, it's just with you. Maybe it's going to have a flare-up. I don't know. Because Jack was evil before. And then all the other Venin so far have been, like, already monsters when they found them. So I don't know how the transfer process works.
And how long they've been exposed to the magic and how long...
What's the incubation period, you know?
Yeah, he's like, we could still do bot stuff. But they... you could just do me. Oh, no. I've already peeked enough at the synopsis of the next book. And like, it's stupid. They're going to fix it right away. It doesn't matter.
Oh, penicillin exists in this one?
Penicillin.
Venicillin.
And we're going to read that one, aren't we?
God damn it. You said we had to do this. This was your fault.
People are talking about these. and I think...
People talk about really a lot of stuff.
The people who like our podcast most prefer when we read books that we hate. I think it's our enemies. They really.
We had a good run there of doing like books we wanted to do, and so I was just sad because it's so fucking long. But did you guys like it?
I have so many problems with this. Oh my god! This
first of all, the dragon physics class is just wrong.
This was.
They never use units.
I mean, as I kind of said before,
yeah,
they did maintain their units. It felt like every other fantasy novel all stuffed into one. It was like all the other big fantasy things all together, all going happening at the same time, with a magic and the magic system that was just so many things. And there's like, this is only book two, and you've got dragons, and you've got the writers, the dragons, the school stuff, and you've got the runes that they're doing, and the alloy metals, and the wards, and then there's so many. This is only book two, and there are so many things that you have to know about. So many interacting magic systems, and all the signet powers. And another thing that was dumb, which signet powers remind me of. Oh, and Zayden, he has a second signet. It's like, when that happened, I was like, where the fuck did that come from? Like,
it came from a character talking about it two chapters earlier.
Okay, well, apparently I missed that, because either it wasn't foreshadowed enough, or it was like, what, is this a thing I was supposed to know? I was supposed to worry about?
No, it really was just brought up out of the blue, like, not that long before that happened.
It was at the start of a chapter, an epigraph introduced this.
It's when it gets brought up by some other characters, like, by the way, did you know this thing? And she's like, holy shit, that means he's got a second one, because she knows that his dragon was his grandpa's dragon. But like, it really came out of nowhere, out of like some fucking dude just like jabbering about, by the way, this was the 18th president, you know, just some fact nerd.
James K. Polk was the
it's fucking, it's
13th it's, president.
16th. No.
It's Hayes, I believe, is the 18th president.
Yeah. I have no idea.
No, wait, Grant. Grant. Hayes 19th. Definitely Grant.
So
Lincoln 16, Johnson 17. It's Grant.
Things would just like happen out of nowhere, which is really what I mean to say is Violet isn't taking actions in the plot to solve a mystery or put clues
She's
together
dick,
or
Nate.
It's the only thing a mysterious the readers amount carry of dick. About. But it's like the plot, I mean, yes, sometimes, but a lot of times the plot isn't moving along because Violet is putting the clues together or taking an action to do a thing. Like, things just happen. And it's like where the part where just characters just like decide to do a thing, and it's not like she figured out that Zayden has this second power because of this thing happened, and wait, that was funny, and then this happened. She's like, no, it just sort of like appears out of nowhere. And I still don't know what a luminary is, and I just don't care.
It was like, the second power thing is like, the whole book they're reading, she's like talking about how many books she's reading to try to figure out how to ward things. Like, if she had read a book about all these dragons and it came up with like, wait a second, you got a second power? Like, what the fuck? Like, it would have made sense more organically than... Then Larry from Dragon Physics said, I farted once and a dragon gave me a second power because my grandfather also farted. It's like, oh, does he? It's like, it was that level
shift.
Of just, like, out of fucking nowhere. And, it, you know, it's clumsy.
And at the end, figuring out that it's... You need a seventh dragon instead of just six because one of the things is wrong. A different character just tells her. She's been looking at this for this whole time. She's been reading all these books. A different character just like, oh, I'm just going to tell you what the answer is. She didn't take the action to figure it out or to like move the plot along. The plot just sort of happens.
It's because she spends the entire, I say three quarters of the book are her and Zayden having the same fight. It's literally, it's the same conversation over and over and over again. It's like, I need you to trust me. It's like, I can't trust you if you don't tell me everything. It's not how fucking trust works, first of all. And it was like, well, I'm going to have secrets because I'm, you know, part of a secret revolution. It's like, you need to tell me literally everything you're doing all the time. Like, we are psychically connected and I have to have some secrets because of the whole revolution thing. It's like,
because the plot would be much shorter if we had no secrets.
It's fucking ridiculous.
They have shields.
Oh, this
mind
is from
shields,
Harry Potter.
Copied from Star Trek.
Or whatever that was called.
Yeah. Or shields copied from Star Trek.
Shield your
just
mind,
like, we have shields. But it's like, she set up this plot where everybody is like psychically connected all the time. It's like they can text each other, but they can just literally read each other's minds. So they have to then develop the ability to have shields to block them out. It's like, wait a minute, I've got an idea. How about people aren't psychically connected together the whole time? You don't have to put in the stupid plot line about characters having shields that are up or down or at half power.
But then he couldn't say things to her while he's going on her puss.
An opportunity lost.
Mmm, just like mom used to make. Please don't ever say that to me again.
Mom's muff pie.
Brick oven puts puss. Don't workshop it now. Don't. This is not the time for that.
Speaking of his mom, they did mention his mom for the first time in this book. Was like, what about your mom? Is like, she left when I was 10. It's like, I guess that'll come back in books 3, 4, or 5.
Well, you pointed out in the first one the Chekhov's noun syndrome.
Yeah.
So everything will come back.
Yeah.
Can I to what Nate was saying about like everything's handed to her, she doesn't do it. I'm currently reading Harry Potter 1 to my kid at night. So it's like, you know, read half a chapter. It is so much fucking better at introducing stuff. Like I've read those books 5 or 6 times. And you're like, and now reading it out loud and reading it slowly and answering the questions of a 6-year-old who just doesn't want to go to bed. Like, it is so good. Like, for example, the first Harry Potter book, the big issue really is like, what is the secret thing that they're hiding in Hogwarts? What, who's trying to get it? Why are they hiding it? You know, like, that's like the big plot, right? The Philosopher's Stone and Sorcerer's Stone. It is introduced like 5 different times in like a throwaway kind of line, or like the package is mentioned, or the scene like that. You don't even think about those scenes because so many other things are happening. You know, like Harry gets the card of the fucking chocolate frog, and he gets a Dumbledore card, and it just mentions Dumbledore did this, and the Philosopher's Stone, and you're like, I don't even know what that is. There's fucking magic frogs. Like, you forget it. Hagrid goes to the bank. He has a little package. Don't worry about that. It's official Hogwarts business. All these little things. And then at the end of the book, it's like fucking the Sixth Sense. You're like, oh shit, that was there the whole time. I just was distracted. This book, none of that. None of that is happening here. It's just that a character goes like, you know, it'd be crazy if something happened that would be really important to the plot right now. And then the next page, they're like, I think it's time for that to happen. Like, there's nothing's buried. There's no delayed payoff. It's all immediate. And as Nate has pointed out, both books that we've read, it's in the epigraph. It's in the start of the chapter.
That's not good foreshadowing. I'm sorry. It's not.
It's amazing that there's no foreshadowing in a book this long.
Where one guy's power is shadows.
Shadows that can do anything, by the way. What is the... Could you define what it is he does with the shadows? No, it's everything.
Like shadows,
anything,
it's nebulous.
Anything
best.
And everything. But his power is shadows. And...
The power of being mysterious.
At one point, his shadows nudge her clothes over to her after they have sex. Like, he uses the shadows to kill people, and another time the shadows are like, oh, you dropped your panties. They're just like a weird octopus extension of him. Like, he just
pretty much
has these
yeah.
extra tendrils to control his environment or to shield or to hide him. He could hide in the shadows. That's the problem when everyone has a unique power. There's no need to...
Everyone important has a unique power.
Right, so there's no need to like to define what that power is because it's just whatever you need it to be in the plot.
Now, on the one hand, everybody has a unique power, but what she didn't do with the plot is to put together a heist movie kind of thing where it's like, I need the best blank and then the best other guy that does this other thing. I need the best safe cracker and the best other thing. She doesn't put together the dream team.
And have the
powers work together in creative ways. It's just kind of like, oh, that guy's got a power.
It's the difference between that guy has power. The heist movies where they have to plan ahead, where this one is they have those guys, but they just show up as needed for problems that arise in the moment, which is less, not that dragons are believable, but it's just like, we need this thing. Luckily, the siphon girl is there to suck my mom dry to save us all.
Oh, lucky for everyone involved, actually. Really
so yeah, I really didn't like it. So I did say when we did the first book, I was like, oh, there's so much stuff, bad stuff in it. But then the end, it kind of came together. This one did not. It just was just bad all the way through.
I thought it came together okay. once. I thought that the problem with this one was there was just way too much shit that did not matter. Like every part of the romance was awful, just awful. And why do they have to keep going back to school? Stop making schools. At one point, they flee the country and say, better institute high school again, because they got to do that. Make sure you get to, you know, ethics class. Stop that
guys,
part.
I still have this egg I have to keep alive for health class.
it's fucking infuriating because it's so long. And if it was just trimmed down to like the parts that were about the war and these conspiracies, it might be decent. It's not going to be great, but it'd be decent. It would be better than some of the other schlock out there, certainly. But the fucking romance parts they weigh it down because it's so stupid. They have the same fight the whole time. They have, you know, they just like fuck each other. Like, oh, every time she sees him, she's like, better take another page to describe how good his abs look. It's like, no one cares right now. He's wearing clothes, first of all. Also, how do you see?
I think that's mostly what the readers do care about.
Yeah, it's fucking bad. It's bad. it's just silly. I mean, I thought that parts of it were fine. Like, I know I can deal with magic being, you know, nebulous because I don't care enough. Be like, yeah, she does magic. All right. And then he can do anything. All right, cool. Magic, whatever. And dragons fighting. Yeah, cool. You know, fuck each other up. Do dragons. Why does she have a gun in the last fight? Who cares? She's got a gun now. Fuck it. Yeah, I'm all in. Give her a gun. Give her two guns next time. I don't care. But please stop. Like, I can't trust you if you can't trust that I have things I can't trust you with. Fuck you. Shut the fuck up. He's like, I'm going to break up with you. We know you can't because you would all die. You're going to all die. We know that that's an issue in this. That's a given. Please move on. I hate it. I hated every bit of it. I hate that I had to listen to these sex scenes at 2.5 speed and it still took forever to get through them. If I was reading that at regular speed, that would be half an hour of someone describing this weird sex scene to me for a 28-hour audiobook. Like, why? It doesn't need to be like this, man.
I don't think it's gonna. I think the next book is a little shorter. This book was longer than the first one. I think the third one is.
Is it
back to the first book length? Mm-hmm.
But is it a higher percentage of fuck scenes? Who knows? Because now they're getting along again. Maybe she doesn't want to catch demon STD. I don't know.
Yeah, it's me a lot more about her putting on the condom to not get venom.
It's dragon skin in this world.
That's what the V is in HIV. Oh, no, I got a human immunovenin virus disease. Gosh, shit. I thought I pulled out. We're kind of committed, aren't we? Which is unfortunate. Because this did suck. This was really bad. And you know what? It wasn't bad. It was just like it's nothing. It was boring. Is really what it was.
Yeah, huge chunks of it were boring. Like stop going to school. If there's school in the next book, I'm gonna kill someone.
I don't remember how long is their degree program.
Well, he graduated this book, so and he's 2 years older than her. So I guess it's a 3-year program. I don't know. But she just fled the country. Do those credits transfer? like they spent a whole year learning how to get off your dragon while it's going, and she did it once in this book, and I know that there's another level of getting off your dragon in a different way.
201. Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm sure there's going to be another fucking year. Well, I'm going to get my associates at the end of this fucking one because, you know, I took the semester off because of the fucking revolution and, you know, theoretical creature invasion. Yeah. It better be shorter.
It's not. I think it's the same length as the first book, which is like 500 pages, and this one was 600.
It's better.
It's yeah, but not enough.
It's not better enough.
I don't think it ever could be, Rebecca. Nice try. But we'll be back for it, won't we?
It's better than Allegiant.
Yeah, this is better than Allegiant.
It's not a high bar.
I have to admit, Allegiant was worse. But was Twilight worse? Yes, actually, I think
Twilight was also worse.
So Rebecca, Twilight's, you got us there.
Twilight 1 was, I would say, equal. Twilight 2, 3, and 4 were definitely worse. Twilight 1, you were like, all right, where's this going?
Nowhere.
And then once you see where it's going, you're like, oh, this is worse.
There were no chapters of blank pages in this one. Though that was about the only thing that didn't happen in these chapters.
I wish there were. I wish there were chapters of blank pages.
Real quick audiobook that way. Wait, another blank page. Flip. Another blank page.
Nate, did you do the audiobook of that Twilight with the blank page?
I did, yeah.
So what did it say? I can't remember.
I didn't know that was in the book, actually. It just kind of like, it just kind of went on to the next thing.
A long pause.
Oh, man.
At 20 minutes of empty space.
That's what it's like living inside Bella's head.
I think, fuck that. We're done with this. Can we be done with it?
Mm-hmm. Who cares? Fuck it.
Fuck it. Tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Or, you know what? If you want to support the podcast, head over to the, I should have said this earlier, the patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub and give us the money. Thank you, please. Or leave us a review wherever you're listening. That's also awesome.
And find us on social media, all of them. We're on Yelp.
Are we?
Maybe.
We could be.
You could rate us and
five check hot out dogs.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.